In today's news headlines, President Donald Trump abruptly walked out of a scheduled meeting with Democratic leaders on Wednesday morning after hearing that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi had accused him of engaging in a cover-up. Pelosi, who has been facing increasing pressure from her own colleagues to embark on impeachment proceedings, had met earlier with fellow Democrats and said this after her meeting.
It was a very positive meeting, a respectful sharing of ideas, and I think a very impressive presentation by our chairs. We do believe that it's important for to follow the facts. We believe that no one is above the law, including the President of the United States. And we believe that the President of the United States is engaged in a cover-up, And that was the nature of the meeting.
That's House Speaker Nancy Pelosi on Wednesday morning after meeting with Democrats itching to impeach President Trump. Soon after, she, together with Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, attended a scheduled meeting with President Trump at the White House to discuss an infrastructure plan. But reports emerged that Trump walked out of that meeting after just 3 minutes, seething over Pelosi's comments. He then referred to her words during remarks in the Rose Garden.
I saw that Nancy Pelosi, just before our meeting, made a statement that we believe that the President of the United States is engaged in a cover-up. Well, it turns out I'm the most, and I think most of you would agree to this, I'm the most transparent president probably in the history of this country. Things are going well, and I said, let's have the meeting on infrastructure. We'll get that done easily. That's one of the easy ones. And instead of walking in happily into a meeting, I walk in to look at people that had just said that I was doing a cover-up. I don't do cover-ups. You people know that probably better than anybody.
That's Trump on Wednesday morning claiming he's not covering anything up. Meanwhile, news emerged of links between Trump's former personal attorney, Michael Cohen, and the head of a company with links to a Russian oligarch. Federal prosecutors had investigated the ties over the past 2 years in filings that were made public for the first time on Wednesday. One warrant explained that telephone records related to Cohen's cellular telephone show that on or about November 8, 2016, the day of the presidential election, a telephone registered to Cohen exchanged the first in a series of text messages with the CEO of Columbus Nova. Columbus Nova is run by Renova Group, which is operated by a Russian national named Viktor Vekselberg. Columbus Nova CEO, who Cohen communicated extensively with, is Andrew Intrader, Vekselberg's cousin. Cohen and Intrader exchanged 230 phone calls and 950 text messages starting on Election Day 2016. The Justice Department has cut a deal with the House Intelligence Committee after Attorney General William Barr refused to testify at a recent hearing. Committee Chair Adam Schiff announced that in exchange for postponing the enforcement of a subpoena on Barr, the DOJ has agreed at the last minute to produce much of the redacted material from the special counsel's report to the committee. Meanwhile, the House Judiciary Committee on Tuesday announced more subpoenas for former White House officials to appear at hearings, including former White House Communications Director Hope Hicks and Deputy White House Counsel Annie Donaldson, who took extensive written notes and emerged as a player in the Mueller report. The Washington Post has obtained a copy of a memo from the Internal Revenue Service over a congressional request for Trump's tax returns. According to the Post, the memo asserts that tax returns must be given to Congress unless the president takes the rare step of asserting executive privilege. The memo itself says that turning over the tax returns is, quote, mandatory, requiring the secretary to disclose returns and return information requested by the tax writing chairs. Federal Reserve Chair Steven Mnuchin has claimed that the DOJ advises him not to release Trump's tax returns, but the content of the IRS memo undermines his claim. In related news, the New York State Legislature just passed a bill allowing three congressional committees to obtain Trump's New York State tax returns. Housing and Urban Development head Ben Carson was in congressional crosshairs during a tense hearing on Tuesday. Freshman California Democrat Katie Porter, who has emerged as a strong champion of working families and is well-versed in economic policy, grilled Carson over HUD policies.
I'd also like you to get back to me, if you don't mind, to explain the disparity in REO rates. Do you know what an REO is?
An Oreo?
No, not an Oreo. An R-E-O. R-E-O.
Real estate?
What's the O stand for?
E-organization?
Owned. Real estate owned. That's what happens when a property goes to foreclosure. We call it an REO.
Mm-hmm. I would be extremely happy if you'd like to have you work with the people who do that.
Well, Mr. Carson, that was my day job before I came to Congress. So now it's my job to ask you to work with the people.
I'm talking about the people at home.
That's Congresswoman Katie Porter grilling the HUD chairman, Ben Carson, on Tuesday. Carson faced scrutiny from members of the House Financial Services Committee, including Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley and Joyce Beatty, for more than 3 hours, during which he exposed his lack of knowledge about the agency that he leads. The state of Nevada is on its way to overturning a strict abortion-related law, bucking the nationwide trend of abortion bans. On the same day that thousands of people protested in cities around the country against Alabama's total abortion ban, Nevada lawmakers advanced a vote to repeal a law that requires pregnant women be lectured about the emotional implications of having an abortion and that also requires doctors to document their marital status. Nevada has the first state legislature in the nation with a female majority. Addressing supporters outside the state house, one state lawmaker named Ivana Cancela said, "When the rest of the country may feel hopeless, may feel bleak, they should look to Nevada as the shining beacon that we are for women's rights." Meanwhile, two major film and television productions have formally announced they are pulling their projects out of Georgia in protest of that state's abortion ban. In immigration news, the Trump administration has announced that it is hiring former Virginia Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli II to a senior role at the Department of Homeland Security. According to the Washington Post, Cuccinelli, who has been hawkish on immigration policy during television appearances that also praise Trump, appears to fulfill the president's desire to have a forceful personality and a loyalist at the highest levels of DHS. Cuccinelli is expected to answer to Acting DHS Secretary Kevin McAleenan and is rumored to be a potential choice for permanent DHS head. Meanwhile, McAleenan faced tough questions from members of the House Homeland Security Committee on Wednesday during a hearing over the multiple deaths of undocumented children in Border Patrol's custody. California Congresswoman Barbara Lee on Wednesday held a press conference with other lawmakers, including Republicans, on legislation to repeal the decades-old Authorization for the Use of Military Force, or AUFM, a bill that passed in the wake of the September 11th attacks that successive presidents have used as a blank check for wars. Her announcement comes a day after a House committee voted to pass an amendment to a defense spending bill that would overturn the AUFM. Members of both parties are worried that Trump is close to unilaterally launching a new war on Iran. And that does it for our news headlines today.